I'm Georgie Crawford. You're listening to the Good Glow podcast. Throughout my treatment for breast cancer, I've realised the importance of self-care. Whether it's a trip to the gym, a checkup with your GP, or even a five-minute meditation, the time has come for us to put ourselves higher on our own to-do list. I'll speak to people who remind us to take better care of ourselves. And what better way to take care of ourselves than to understand more about our bodies? This series, I've teamed up with Fitbit. Fitbit allows you to get to know yourself better and understand your health with insights that are unique to you. As I always say, knowledge is power, and Fitbit provides data about your health and well-being to help empower and support you in leading a balanced and healthy lifestyle. I'm so happy to have Fitbit on board, as my Fitbit helps keep me focused and on track with my goals and training. Being partnered with Fitbit is inspiring, as they're encouraging everyone to make positive changes, and I hope this podcast does too. This week on the Good Glow podcast, I talk to Terry McAvoy. Terry has been working as a nurse since 2007. She made the big move to Australia in 2015 and hasn't looked back. She's also known as one of Ireland's top Instagram stars and recently teamed up with Suzanne Jackson to bring out her very own tan Bahama body. She just turned 30, is getting married to the love of her life next month, and encourages people not to treat life like one big checklist. I hope you enjoy. Terry, thank you so much for coming on the Good Glow podcast.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I'm so delighted you're here. I saw that you were home to get married, so I was like, maybe she can squeeze me in for an hour. So thank you so much.
No worries.
And I'm opening season 4 with you, so I'm so happy you're here.
Exciting. Thanks for having me. I'm like really good. Like I listen all the time, so it's really exciting.
Thanks for
to be
the support.
Here.
How do you feel? You're getting married in 4 weeks, I'm sure. Like this is kind of the most exciting time. So are you embracing it?
I feel like I'm way more relaxed than I should be. Like people are like, are you stressed? Like, are you freaking out? And I'm like, no, I actually feel so good. And I think it's probably because David has been such a great help in the whole process as well. So yeah, I'm on cloud 9. I just can't believe it's happening. It came so quick.
And do you feel like you've got loads more to do? Like I felt like before my wedding, like there was just so many little bits that I had to tie up.
Yeah, but I've kind of like, I'm really one to listen to advice. And like the advice that I've had from everyone is like, you know, don't get too hung up on the small things because they don't matter on the day. So I really took that into consideration. So every time I'm like, oh my God, you know, this isn't done, I'm like, okay, I just need to relax because no one's even going to notice that on the day. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, and just look at the bigger picture.
Yeah, so I've tried to really take in advice from other people and, you know, everything is booked, everything's done. If it goes like, you know, belly up on the day, it's fine. We're going to be married anyway. So no stress. It's grand.
And why did you decide to come home to Ireland for like these couple of weeks before? Because you're getting married abroad.
Yeah, because I was only planning to come back to Ireland a week before the wedding, and then it's actually really funny because I was in Australia and my mom called me and she FaceTimed me, and it was my nephew in his outfit for the wedding, and he's my ring boy, and I just start crying, and David was like, what's wrong with you? And I was like, I should be home, I should be seeing this, I should be, you know, picking out the clothes with him. And I just start crying, and he was like, that's it, we're going home. Like the build up is like, you know, this is, we need to be home to enjoy the build up, like we have to go. So we just made a crazy decision to, you know, ask our bosses for extra time off, and thank God, you know, all went well and here we are.
You've been nursing for years.
Yeah.
You were a nurse in Ireland and then you made the big move to Australia in 2015.
Yeah.
How did you come to that decision to just move countries?
So we were living in Ireland. We'd only been a year and a half together, nearly 2 years. And I remember a specific day where I came home from work and I was just really burnt out. And David came home as well. And I'm so fed up. And he said, I'm really fed up as well. And I was like, imagine just living abroad. And he was like, yeah, imagine. And I took out the laptop and I was like, would you go? And he was like, yeah. And I booked a one-way flight to Bangkok. And then I was like, I heard the nursing's great in Australia. Let's just make our way to Australia. And he just started laughing. He was like, I can't believe this is happening. And it just kind of went from there. And we just went. Like, it was just...
And how did your families feel about you kind of up in sticks?
They were upset, like, you know, because we both have huge families. Like, you know, Dave has 4 sisters and I have 2 brothers and 2 sisters and nieces and nephews. So they were all very, like, you know, upset. But they kind of said, you know, you need to go and get it out out your system and go for a year, and we promised it was only going to be a year, and then we were going to live in Brisbane, and we went to Sydney, and you know, we're only supposed to be there for 3 weeks and we never left. So 4 years later, here we are.
And does it feel like home there?
Sometimes it does, you know, like, and I don't want to be like cringy, but I feel like kind of everywhere David is, that's when I feel home. Do you know what I mean? So I will say sometimes it does and then sometimes it doesn't. You know, it kind of depends on what's happening in your life and what's your mood and, you know, how work is going and yeah, what's going on in Ireland. It just, it's kind of 50-50, I suppose.
And around that time then, you started, well, you're one of Ireland's biggest Instagram stars.
God.
So your following started to build as you were travelling.
Yeah, I think I left, if I'm right, I think I had 24,000 people when I left Ireland following me. And I kind of said to myself, right, that's that, scrapped, you know what I mean? Because no one's going to follow me because I'm not relevant. And that was it. And my following grew in Australia, but it's all Irish followers. Like when I show people my stats, brands and stuff, they're like, God, we would have never expected that. We would have thought that was like at least 50% Australian, but no, it's like mainly Irish followers. Like, so it's kind of amazing that it grew in Australia, an Irish audience, you know.
And how did it grow like that?
I suppose, like, I kind of kept, I don't know really. I suppose it's because I think it's because I kind of, I suppose, kept relevant here. Like, I still talk about Irish brands and, you know, it's very hard to break away from that when you're abroad. You're like, you just want your Tato crisps and you want your like Barry's tea and you want your makeup that's available in Ireland and your Penny's clothes. Like, so I suppose I kept talking about all of that. And, you know, any chance I got, my mom was sending me over packages. And, you know, I was also shown like Irish girls and boys, like a different kind of life that they could have if, you know, they moved abroad, whether it's Australia, Canada, America, that there's a whole other world out there. So maybe that was a little bit intriguing for people to look at as well. Do you know,
there's so many people that listen to this, Irish people that listen to this podcast in Australia. Like, do Irish people come up to you in Sydney?
All the time, like definitely all the time. Like, and I've had a lot of girls come up to me and say, oh my God, I moved to Australia because I seen your Instagram and I love it here. And I'm just like, that's amazing, that makes me feel so good that, you know, inspired someone to go see the world and, you know, experience another country. And that's crazy. Like, but yeah, people do. And it's always Irish people. Like, I remember I was at my Aussie friends for dinner and, like, you know, I wouldn't really talk about what I do in work, like with my nurse pals. And they, like, we were sitting down and this girl came, she's like, oh my God, it's Terry McAvoy. And she wanted a selfie and they were like, are we missing something? Like, and I was like, yeah, kind of.
By the way.
Yeah, because I never mention it if they're like, are you on Instagram? And I'm like, oh, kind of used just Facebook. Like, so yeah, it was very funny when it happened.
It's amazing that you have that balance of the nursing, which I'm sure is so fulfilling and such an amazing job. And then you have the fun side, which is Instagram and the glam life.
Yeah.
Can you remember the first night in Australia? Like, when you got there, were you guys like, this is
a deer
insane
in the headlights? Like,
yeah.
I remember because we had originally booked a hostel. We went from Bali. We were traveling Southeast Asia and we had a hostel booked and we were in Bali and Dave was like, we need to change this. You're not going to last in a hostel. And I was like, oh, change it. So we booked an Airbnb and it was in Erskineville. If anybody's from Sydney, listen, they'll know that's just not where like Irish people go, and it's just nowhere. Like, so we went there and we had like a random house with random people booked and we got put into this attic and it was 40 degrees and there was a big massive spider and I just remember lying down going, what have I done? And he was like, oh Jesus, we can't go back. So it was like really funny to do. I was just lying there, but we laugh it off and, you know, it's just all an experience. Like, I recently was away with my mom and dad on a trip and, you know, for 4 years I've been away and I come back for 2 weeks and then I go away and I come back, but I've never actually went on a holiday properly with my mom and dad. And me and David were just like, do you remember that time? My mom and dad's jaw were on the floor. They were like, what are these situations you've gotten yourselves into? And I'm like, yeah,
that's amazing
life.
You always had each other and you got through the tough times.
Yeah, definitely.
So is your life in Australia nice and settled now, or well, I'm sure as a nurse you're working a lot.
Yeah, I work a lot. Like, and it just, even going back to what you were saying, your life with nursing and Instagram, like, and it's funny how people think that Instagram is the fun thing, because I sometimes find that Instagram's way more stressful than, do you know what I mean, my nursing. Like, I actually find refuge in nursing, going in and just, you know, relaxing my mind and working with people and helping them, and just that's my job for the day and I don't have to think about anything else but them. And then when I go back onto Instagram, it's like, oh my God,
the stress
yeah, like, am I going to offend somebody by saying something, do you know what I mean, like, like, is this photo good enough, or do I look okay? Like, just all these crazy things that you think about. So yeah, sometimes I find Instagram a little bit more stressful.
It's a really good point about nursing, because I suppose you're not on your phone, you're very in
the
moment.
I leave my phone in the locker. Like, as soon as I step in onto the ward, my phone goes into the locker.
That's what is it about nursing? Did you always want to be a nurse?
Yeah, I did. Like, I was always in a hospital when I was younger, like, just with breaks, and I was just a bit of a lunatic growing up, and I always like loved going in and, you know, seeing the nurses, and I always just thought they were great. And I always had a real interest in biology and helping people as well. I was in the Order of Malta from when I was 14. I used to volunteer, and I learned first aid when I was 14, how to give CPR, and it was always something that I was really interested in. And I used to you know, work at events and stand there in my uniform when I was 15, 16, and, you know, people come up after falling or like at festivals and stuff like that, and I was a bystander and helping. So it was just something that I was always interested in. It's just kind of the human body, helping people. And yeah, I just thought, you know, I'm going to do nursing. But if I wasn't a nurse, I'd definitely be a vet, because I'm just obsessed with animals as well.
I think it took me to get sick to realise just what nurses do for you.
Yeah.
Like, I'd go in to get my chemotherapy and my nurse Grace would sit beside me and I can't describe how much of a difference nurses made to my treatment and how I felt every day.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
You must get so much out of it, but it must be tough as well at the same
time.
Yeah,
it is. Like, there's some days that I come home and I'll have really bad dreams. Like, cause I used to work in a major trauma unit in Sydney, and I'd be working with students, and I've seen some really, really horrific things. And sometimes I'd go home and dream about it, and then the next day, do you know what I mean? Like, I'd be like, okay, I clearly brought that home, and I'd have ways of kind of getting it out of my mind, and, you know, leaving Nurse Terry at the door as well. Like, so yeah, it does. It definitely does. It can be quite stressful and emotionally draining, but I definitely think that the rewards outweigh that. For sure. Like,
and are the hours long in Australia?
Yeah, like I personally choose to work 12 hours a day, because then that means I only work 3 days a week and I have 4 days off, and just with my lifestyle and my blog and stuff like that, I need to do that. And I used to, the shifts are a lot better though than here. Like, you can choose to do 7 till 3:30 or 1:30 till 10, and then your night shift is 8 hours or 10 hours or 12. It just depends on the ward and the unit and all that. So yeah, I could have an easier life, but I choose to do the 12 hours just to make time.
And how do you spend your days off? Well, you probably don't get many days off because you're running your Instagram.
Yeah.
But what's life like in Australia?
So, like, I suppose if I'm doing an 8-hour shift, I finish work at 3:30, if I choose to do that. I finish work and then David will come meet me. We'll go home, grab something to eat, and then go to the beach, go for a walk, go on an adventure, shoot some looks if that's what I have to do that day, or if I have to, you know, do a makeup look, I'll do that. So that's kind of like my day to day. If I'm doing 12 hours, it's a write off. So, like, you know, 7 in the morning till 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, that's a write off, and I come home and I just chill. And I suppose people probably notice when I'm in work on Instagram, because I don't post for 2 or 3 days, and I've had a couple of girls being like, it's so obvious, like, you know, when you're working, because you don't come on. And then my days off, like, if David's in work, I'll head down to the beach and just chill and find some shade and catch up on work, and, you know, go for walks or catch up with friends. So yeah, it's completely different.
Judging from your Instagram, I've been looking at it more closely over the last couple of days, like, the nursing, you wouldn't know really you're a nurse.
Yeah.
Do you find that many people don't know that side of you?
I think when I first started, I was quite like, oh, I'm going to work today, I'm a nurse, blah, blah, blah. And then as my Instagram started to grow, I just kind of stopped because, I don't know. I just did, because it's not really what I want the focus of my Instagram to be. Like, there's a whole other side to Terry than Nurse Terry. Like, you know, like, there's, you know, I love makeup and travel and clothes and animals and, you know, like, I love the bands, do you know what I mean? So I just kind of wanted to focus on that. And, you know, every so often I'll be like, oh, I'm heading into work, or like, I'll mention it briefly, but I wouldn't like ever come on and openly like discuss my day or, you know, come on in my uniform. It's just not what I kind of want to do. So yeah.
You've spoken about being homesick before, and I get messages from people who say they listen to this podcast abroad because it makes them feel like they're home. Just listening to two Irish girls having a chat.
Yeah.
How do you deal with it?
Oh, I don't deal with it quite well. I have to say, I used to be way better at like the whole homesickness thing. But I've gotten really bad. Like, I just find that when I'm homesick, it's written all over my face. Like, I'm not myself. Like, but I have found that ways to kind of deal with it is to FaceTime home, chat to my mom, chat to David, yeah, just kind of take a long look around me as well, because it's very easy. The grass is always greener on the other side, and it's very easy to be in one place and really, like, you know, look at somewhere else through rose-tinted glasses. So I kind of find I have to bring myself back to reality and be like, okay, if you're in Ireland now, what would you be doing? And not that Ireland, you know, there's nothing here for me. It's just I am happier in Australia, you know, more than I'm happier in Ireland. It's so hard. Like, it's, I think everyone has their own kind of ways of dealing with it. Like, so.
But like you say, though, it's really important to say it, like, to say to your partner, like, I'm feeling a bit.
And also to share on Instagram, because, you know, new followers. It's a really good saying. It's like, don't judge me on the chapter that you walked in on, because I get a lot of new followers and they're like, oh, you just put up like the perfect side to Australia, and like, you never talk about, you know, the bad side. And I'm like, no, I do. It's just, you've only followed me now and you're only starting to see my journey now. It's, you know, it's really, really difficult. And I do talk about it and say, look, I'm having a really bad day. Homesickness is real. Like, I want to be home. I want to be enjoying my wedding. And I think it's important to say that, because people have this idea that you go to Australia and you live this amazing life and you never get homesick. It's so untrue. Like, you miss your mom and dad every day. You miss your family, you miss the kids, like, you miss feckin' Tato. I know I keep talking about Tato, but I have like eaten about 10 million packets since I've been home. But yeah, you just miss all the little things, like, you know, and even listen to Irish radio and the banter that they have, like, you're just like, oh god, I really miss this. So,
and do you have Irish friends over there?
Not a whole lot. I actually don't, like, I've always kind of gotten in with Australians. I have Stacey and Dan, and there are like solid Irish friends. And I've recently gotten a new job on a ward, and there's lots of Irish girls there, and I've kind of made friends with them. They're absolutely gorgeous. So they're kind of a new group of friends that I have, and a couple of Scottish girls and English girls as well. So that's nice.
You've spoken really openly about encouraging women to get smear tests. Yeah. And obviously as a nurse, you see illness and the struggles.
Yeah. I just wanted to kind of use my platform to encourage girls to get their smear tests and stay on top of it, because I know that there's a lot of, I suppose, things going on at the moment with the cervical checks, and, you know, a lot of things were missed. But I just want to say to anybody listening that's like, I don't want to get my smear test because it's not going to be, you know, the results are not going to come in for another few months. Just stay on top of it yourself. You need to still go and have these smears done because they are life saving. And I think it's really important that girls go and do that and look after themselves.
And that's what Oprah always says. She always says we're all responsible for our own
bodies.
Like, nobody is going to do it for you. And I do think the hardest part of getting checked is making the phone call to book the appointment, because I think you keep the appointment, but it's hard to, you just keep putting it off. I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it tomorrow. So have you heard from lots of girls then who have booked smears because of you saying that out loud?
Absolutely. Like, girl, I've had girls come back to me, and at one stage I couldn't even keep up with the amount of messages I was getting, and I actually couldn't, like, I still to this day, like, haven't even gotten back to them because the DMs are gone. But so many people came to me and they were like, oh, I didn't get my smear because I was afraid, and then I went and got yours and I have, you know, CIN1 or CIN2, what's this? And we've had conversations about it, and you know, I've reassured them and told them that, you know, this is quite treatable, you're lucky you found it now. And then there's also been the other side where girls have been like, I've been too afraid and I went and got my smear, it was clear, thanks for clearing my mind, you know what I mean? So it's not always been doom and gloom. And I think that's the thing as well, as people think I'm gonna go get a smear and it's gonna come back abnormal and, you know, it's gonna frighten me, and it's fine, you know, everything is manageable, like, it is.
And
it
then really is. The stress of worrying about it is doing you damage. Yeah, so just to go and get that clear result is amazing. But that's so great that you're using your platform. I mean, you've got so many followers, and so many young girls as well. So it's amazing that you're putting out that message. It's really important.
I'm just glad that some people do associate me with that conversation that I had 2 years ago. And they're like, oh, I went and got my smear test because of you. So that's great. And I'm
happy. It's incredible.
Even
well
if
done.
One person, you know,
exactly.
I mean, if I saved one person.
Amazing. You lost David's mum. Recently, and you're going back to get married, and you're going to be near her.
Yeah.
It's obviously, I always get so emotional talking about when a parent isn't at a wedding, because it's just so difficult. But your words about her that day were amazing, and she sounded like an incredible person.
Yeah, she definitely is. Oh God, what am I like? Sorry. She was amazing, and I suppose it's just, I don't want to get upset, but I actually just find it really hard to, like, I haven't even come onto the camera on Instagram to discuss, like, or, but yeah, it was a very hard time, but like my hurt lies in David, like, you
know. Yeah, seeing him suffer, yeah.
Yeah.
But I just think on days like that, they're always with you, aren't they?
Absolutely. Like, and it's just for him, like, because, you know, boys don't talk.
Yeah.
Irish boys don't talk. So it's like, you know, I just figure Dave out by, like, what way he's looking. And, you know, I just try to reassure him, like, and I suppose we'll just have to, like, mark her on the day and, like, make sure that, you know, that she's marked and that she's there with us on the day. But I'm sorry for getting upset.
It's just
really hard to talk about it sometimes because, you know, I see a whole family, you know, without their mom, and that day is going to be such a big day. Mm. And I just wish it was so different for them. But we'll just have to do our best on the day.
And I'm sure you will. That's just amazing. And he sounds like an amazing guy.
Yeah. Oh, David's one in a million. How'd you think I'm marrying him? Pin him down. I was nearly close to asking him to marry him myself.
And the proposal looked incredible.
Yeah. Well, you'd know he had four sisters. Like, they were, like, so involved in that. Like, it was outrageous. It's actually really funny because he was going to ask me to marry him at the caves, the Benlagil caves, and he had the ring in his shoe and we kayaked up to the caves and then the whole kayak flipped and my camera's into the water and I was like scrambling around the water trying to pick them out of the water and I was like, David, help me, and he was running after his shoe and I was like, feck your shoe. I was like, so he attempted to ask me to marry him three times in that whole day in total, and then the sisters were like, no, we need to get involved, like, we need to get her down. So yeah, I'm a bit of a disaster.
And are his sisters amazing?
Yeah.
To get on really
well. Oh my God, yeah. Like, Nikki's one of my bridesmaids. I would have had all of them as my bridesmaids, but like, it would have actually been crazy. Like, imagine 10, 12 people. Like, but we all get on so well and all in different ways. Like, you know, myself and Chrissy are like the lunatics. Like, you know, we love to go out and party and like, we're really close in that sense. And David's little sister, Kriya, like, we're always chatting about, like, you know, tan and makeup and beauty. And, you know, like, we'd have a little special relationship between us. And then Amy, like, Amy's just absolutely gorgeous and she's so supportive and I support her. And, like, you know, we have our chats and Amy and Nikki are just, you know, like, I just absolutely consider Nikki as, like, one of my best friends. Like, she's a sweetheart. So it's really, really great to have that, you know, and to have that involvement and to have that relationship with your boyfriend's sisters is great. And it was great to have that relationship with his mum as well, that I could, you know, I could ring David's mum and give out about David to her. Like, she'd be like, oh, I'd kill him. Like, you know, like, we had a really special relationship. So,
and you'll never forget that. And then it's just going to be so special to have everyone there on your big day. And are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, like, I just can't believe it's happening. Like, it's crazy. Like, it's all come on so quick. Like, and
do you feel like there's going to be eyes on you, like, to see the dress? And are you nervous?
Yeah,
about
very
that?
Nervous about that, because, like, my biggest fear is that, like, I'll see a comment being like, I don't like her dress. Like, do you know what I mean? Because I've only spoken about the wedding, like, in the sense that I'm excited about it. I haven't given any details away because I just don't want that pressure of it to be like this massive wedding, because at the end of the day, that's not who me and David are. Like, you know, we just want something on the beach, close to the beach, and, you know, where our specials around us. And my dress is not, like, I don't know, I won't
up
say
for
too
discussion
much. Yeah, I just want it to be, once David likes, I don't care. Like, that's it. I'm just like, everyone else, just please don't, if you don't like my dress, please don't tell me. That's all I'm saying.
Tell us about your collaboration with Suzanne Jackson.
Oh,
because this is so exciting. And I think everyone's really excited about the So Sue by SJ brand at the moment, because she's teaming up with yourself and Rosie Conley, and you know, she's bringing out some cool stuff. So, like, what was it like to get the call from her?
I nearly hit the deck. I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. Why would she want to collaborate with me? This is mad. Like, she's, of course I would. Like, I've always wanted to do something with you. You know, like, it has to be tan. Like, we have to create a tan together. Because, like, when I think of you, I just think of how good you are at tanning and, you know, your tans. And yeah, it was just an amazing phone call to get. Like, I just remember ringing my mom being like, Mom, guess what? Like, and then I was like, I'm not putting all my eggs in one basket. Maybe it won't happen. She's like, stop, it will. So yeah, it was great to, like, kind of, you know, to have that opportunity to do something like that. I was just so taken back that it was, you know, with me, I suppose.
And she is very involved in her products and things like that. So did you try out lots of different things before you went?
Absolutely. It was very like, you know, hit or miss. I liked one thing, they liked something. Do you know what I mean? And we had to like, you know, make that work as well. Like, so I really think we nailed it when it came to the tan, and I was always confident in Suzanne, do you know what I mean, to create an amazing tan with her. And if I could choose her 10 times over, I would, like, do you know, because she's been so professional to work with. The team have been so encouraging, like, and I think people don't see that side to Suzanne either. Like, do you know, they see a businesswoman, but she's such a softie, like such a softie. And she's so encouraging. Like, every message that I get from Sue is like, well done, you're amazing, well done. Like, it's just always positive, like, do you know, and it's just so great to like to have that support behind you. It's,
yeah, and she really takes the time to kind of get send you personal messages.
And me and her have always had a great relationship. Like, we knew each other way before the blogging world. Like, you know, I think it was 2010 that we started chatting. Like, you know, we knew each other just from kind of being out, and like I'd see her out and I'd always admire her. And then she set up SoSue, the website. And I was always like messaging her, being like, oh, you're brilliant, like, do you know what I mean, keep going, I think you're incredible and I love what you're doing. And we've always just been kind of friends, like. And
what was it like to see your tan in pennies?
It was crazy. I was like, when the first pennies that I seen, like, there was bottles everywhere and like there was barely anything on the shelf, and I was like, oh god. And Dave was like, that means that they're selling out, relax. I was like, oh god, because I just thought they were just being thrown around. But it was so exciting to see it. Like, you know, I couldn't believe it. Just couldn't.
And it's been getting really good reviews as well.
Yeah. And obviously, like, there's, you know, one or two people it's not going to suit. And that's, that's, I kind of expected that, because, like, even before I created tan, I remember sitting down with my friend Stacey in Australia, and she was like, I love, you know, this X tan. And I was like, oh my god, I can't stand that. And she's like, you're crazy. And I was like, no, you're crazy loving that. Like, you know, or vice versa. She'd be like, I can't use this, why do you say it's good? And I'm like, because I find it amazing. So everybody's different. Like, I have completely different skin tone to, you know what I mean, the next person. And I kind of expected a few people to kind of say, look, it doesn't suit me, and that's absolutely fine. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I don't expect it to suit the whole of Ireland, you know. But I think it's, I think we've nailed it. I think it's really, really good.
It's amazing achievement. Congratulations on it. Another thing that I loved from your Instagram is that you always say that you shouldn't treat life like one big checklist. And something that I learned after I got sick is, like, I had my gorgeous baby Pia, and almost as soon as I gave birth to her, I was like, so I wonder when we'll have the next one. And it's just a crazy way to live. And now I try to live much more in the moment, I suppose, because I was forced to do that, and I was forced to kind of take each day as it comes. And now I look at Pia and I'm like, oh, you know, we have our one baby, and if that's all that happens for us, you know, that's amazing. She, like, brings so much joy to our life.
I'd say so.
It is really important, I suppose, not to be rushing from one thing to another.
Absolutely, you have to. And I think that, like, I suppose being in Australia as well, it's really taught me the way that the Australians live. It's not so much like, okay, you know, go to college, get a job, you know, get a mortgage, settle down, have kids. And that's fine if that's what you want to do. And I always say that. I'm like, you know, because my sister at the moment, she's 25, she's thinking about getting a mortgage. And I'm like, you know, okay. I'm like, that's cool. That's what you want to do. But I feel like there's an awful pressure from society to definitely do things. And I suppose you've probably seen that as well, that when you got sick, you were like, how was I so fixated on, do you know what I mean?
What's next?
When I had everything I needed right in front of me. Like, you know, why is it always the next iPhone? Why is it always the next, you know, holiday? Even me, like, you know, it probably looks like I'm always ready to go on the next thing, but when I'm there, I soak it up and I enjoy it. And I just, you know, that's what life is all about. You have to take it easy, you have to slow down and enjoy what you have.
And where, like, where did you get that perspective from, nursing, or because you're so young?
Like, you know, I remember there was a gentleman I was looking after, and he said to me, growing old is a privilege denied by many. And I just, it really resonated within me, because I was like, the mistake that we all make is that we think we have time, and we say, oh, I'll do that, like, I'll travel and I'll do that, you know, in 10 years time, and when I'm retired, or I'll do that next year, or, do you know what I mean? We always put it off, and we always think that we focus too much on getting the next thing, and we don't actually enjoy what we have at the moment. we're not guaranteed that time at all. And I'm sure that you've seen that when you were sick. You were frightened. You were saying, oh my God, am I going to get to see, you know, X? Am I going to get to do X? And it was such a scary time for you. And I suppose looking after sick people, it's really, really taught me that, you know, we're not guaranteed anything in this life and you just need to enjoy it and don't get bogged down on all these things that society pressures us into doing. Like, getting a mortgage, killing yourself for 2 or 3 years. And I'm not saying don't get a mortgage if that's what you want to do, but if you feel like I'm just doing this because
society expects me to do it,
don't do it. Do not do it. Listen to your heart. If your heart is telling you to go and travel, you go and travel. You don't get that feckin' mortgage until you are ready. And if your heart is telling you to get a mortgage and not to travel, you get that mortgage and don't feckin' travel. Do you know what I mean? That's my mantra is just do you.
It's amazing what you said there about putting things off, because in my 20s, I was always like, I'll be fit one day, you know, I'll get around to it, because my life was so hectic that I never had time for exercise. And when I got sick and started to build myself up and started running, I was like, oh my God, like this is actually making me happy. And I was like, what was I waiting for all those years? You kind of kick these things down the road instead of waking up and going, no, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to live my life. And I think by just changing one little thing, and people always ask me about running, like, how do I get into it? And I think it's kind of 1 kilometer at a time.
Absolutely. That's the thing, is that, you know, people, and I'm just basing this on travel and, like, you know, taking in what you've just said, people think that if you go traveling, you have to save €10,000 and you have to go to Australia. You don't. You don't have to do that at all. Start by little city breaks. Do you know what I mean? Make them happen. Save up. Don't go out on that night out. Save your €50, save your €100 and say, okay, I'm going to go to Budapest in July and I'm not going to go out, like, you know, just make it work. You have to take little baby steps at a time, just like you said, 1 kilometer at a time before you do the marathon. Like,
where's your favorite place you've been?
There's a few. People always ask me this and it's really hard. I loved the Philippines. I absolutely adored it, and we're definitely going back before the end of the year. Loved Jamaica. Absolutely adored it. We had the best time there. The people are amazing. Like, oh God, if I could go back tomorrow I would. And I loved Singapore. Absolutely loved Singapore. I love Portugal. There's so many places that I love that I would go back to tomorrow. Like, and I from all of my favorite places, you could probably tell it's always tropical jungle, like that kind of vibe. Like, it's never straightforward. Like,
and do you think Australia is forever then?
I won't say yeah, because I can't, if I do decide to have children, which is like a huge topic as well that I always talk about. If I do decide to have children, if we're lucky enough to have children, I can't see myself raising them that far away from my family. I can't. I just can't. So I think it, you know, a relocation to Europe or, you know, a little bit closer than 24 hours away would be on the cards. So yeah, for sure. So,
and what are your healthy habits? Like, you look amazing. Your skin is so beautiful.
Thanks so much.
Do you look after yourself really well?
Yeah, I would say that, like, I only actually had this conversation with Laura Views. I don't know if you follow her on Instagram. She's great. I really like following Laura. But I only had this conversation. She asked me what's my diet like and how do I stay so slim? And I said, well, I just make good choices, but it's not forced. Do you know what I mean? And she was like, I would have said that you'd come back and say, I eat everything and I just stay slim. And I was like, well, there you go, misconception. But I think what I do is I just kind of naturally gravitate towards healthier foods. So like, if I'm feeling crap, I'd be like, right, grab a bag of spinach, steam it up and eat it all in one go. Broccoli. I just really look after myself, like, in that sense. But and David eats really well as well. But yeah, that's, I suppose, diet is the main thing. But it's not like, if I wanted a pizza, and I'm sure people on Instagram are like, I always see you eating pizza. If I want a pizza, I'll have a pizza. Do you know what I mean? And yeah, if I want chocolate,
but do you feel like a direct benefit when you eat foods
absolutely,
like that?
Yeah, you are what you eat. What you put into your body is what you are made up of. And if you put in chips and, you know, takeaway and crap, that's what you're going to feel. Like, there's no nutrition. There's a thing called secondary malnourishment, and it's really common. So you get people eating and they're overweight and they eat so much food, but they're not eating any nutrition. And I think that that's kind of scary, because there's so many foods out there that actually have no nourishment in them all, and we consume them every single day. Like pizza, like, what benefit is that going to be? It's just carbohydrates. It's just sugar. Do you know what I mean? So I think it's really important to kind of go, okay, what actual nutrition have I given my body today? And it's not about losing weight, and it's not about starving yourself and really depriving yourself of like kind of nice things. It's just about putting good things in as well.
That's, and I think the more you eat the good things, it kind of just becomes a habit.
Yeah,
then
it does.
So would you say then you're eating over five portions of fruit and veg a day?
Yeah, definitely. Like I have a juice in the morning, and then I'd have like a banana by lunchtime, as well as like everything else, a sandwich with like lots of vegetables in it as well. Like I don't have a set routine. If you just kind of be conscious and kind of say, okay, what vegetables have I taken in today? And again, just don't deprive yourself of nice things. Like I always have my donuts, but I know that I've eaten well that day as well. Like,
do you kind of batch cook, or do you?
I batch cook, and David does a lot of the cooking as well. Like, so I'd come home from a long shift and he'd have like, say, broccoli, green beans, lentil, curry made, like he'll have something like that, or mushroom pasta or something like that. He's a really, really health conscious, like David would be, or he'd like make me avocado and toast with tomatoes and pepper and stuff like that. Like he'd just make me nice food, and it does definitely stand to you. Like,
yeah, absolutely. You look amazing.
Oh my God, thanks.
Obviously all your friends have been around you at your hen party and things like that, like human connection. You just can't deny how good it makes you feel. Obviously, you have amazing friends.
Yeah, I have such good friends. I'm so lucky. Like, and you know, I found that over the last 4 years, especially being in Australia, it's really kind of who my really good friends have really shone through. And I've obviously, like, you know, lost a few friends along the way that just kind of, you know, you fall out with people like as you go through life. Like, you know, you're never going to have the same friends from when you're 7 to when you're 16, and from when you're 16 to you're 26. I find that you do kind of fall in and out of people, and I think that's okay as well. Like, you know,
yeah, because so. I think people would beat themselves up about that.
Oh, they
like
shouldn't.
Still not you best grow. Friends with the person they were best friends with.
No, you
10
grow.
Years ago.
People grow like absolutely they grow, and if you can hold on to your friends, that's incredible, because it means that, like, you know, you're both on similar paths, but you do grow and you do kind of lose people along the way. And I really think that your specials do shine through in the end. Like, I don't think that you should beat yourself up over that.
So after the wedding you'll go back to Australia, settle into normal
definitely.
Normality after.
God, I'll be crying every day going, oh, I just want to go back and do it all over again. So
will you be excited to get back onto the ward?
Like I definitely will, and to kind of get the funds back up, because the wedding is expensive, and just to get back and start saving and, you know, plan the next adventure and enjoy what we have. And
will you always travel, do you
always
think?
always. I have so many things that I want to do, like, and see, and it's just, it's a hunger I just can't fulfill. Like, it's crazy. It's such a crazy feeling. Like,
well, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks so much for
best of luck with the wedding. I can't wait to see the photos. I won't be judging. But I'm sure you will be so beautiful.
Oh,
and best of luck with everything. I'm sure it'll be an amazing day.
Oh, thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Good Glow podcast, made possible by Fitbit. Fitbit wants you to be empowered by providing you with personalized data about your health so you can make positive changes to lead a healthier lifestyle. Life is about balance and action, not lots of distractions. Get to know yourself better and understand your health with Fitbit. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please rate and review, and follow me on Instagram at Georgie.Crawford.